Every patient tells a different story, and every recovery journey teaches us something new. Welcome to Neuro Rehab Conversations, where we discuss the science, challenges, and breakthroughs shaping modern rehabilitation. This is Dr. Andrea Johnson and Dr. Ashley Brown, and we will be leading this discussion. And today we have a really fascinating stack of clinical trial notes, engineering diagrams, and research papers on the table.
Yeah, there is a lot of ground to cover today.
Right. So our mission for this deep dive is to explore the evolution of functional electrical stimulation, or, you know, FES. We really want to see how it transformed from a pretty basic passive tool into this incredibly intelligent, patient-driven system for motor relearning.
Exactly.
To put this in perspective, think about traditional stimulation, like being a passive passenger in a car. The machine just drives, right?
Mm.
It twitches your muscles for you while you just sit there. But modern systems are much more like power steering for your body. The system only kicks in when you actively try to turn the wheel.
I really like that analogy. And, you know, that transition from passive to active is really the core of modern neurorehabilitation.
Uh-huh.
Because for a long time, that old passive model was just the standard.
Right, but it wasn't really enough for true recovery, was it?
No, not at all. I mean, passive stimulation builds muscle mass, sure, and it keeps limbs from atrophying, but it completely fails to rewire the brain.
Which is the whole point of rehab.
Exactly. True neuroplasticity. The brain's ability to forge new pathways requires the sensorimotor loop.
The sensorimotor loop. Okay, break that down for us.
So that means three things have to happen simultaneously. You need the patient's intent to move, the physical movement itself, and the sensory feedback from that movement.
Okay, wait. I'm looking at these clinical notes, and I have to push back on that first requirement. Like, if you are working with a patient who is paralyzed and physically cannot move their arm or leg, how can they possibly show intent to trigger this loop?
Well, that's the incredible part. Even when a limb cannot move visibly, the brain is often still trying to send those movement commands.
Oh, so the signal is still there, just trapped.
Right. And modern hardware, specifically systems like the Stimel 3, they use surface electromyography to detect those invisible signals.
Surface electromyography. So stripping away the jargon, what exactly is that?
It's essentially a set of highly sensitive listening devices placed right on the skin. They don't shock you. They just listen for the tiny microscopic electrical pulses that your muscles generate when your brain, you know, whispers a command to them.
A whisper? Wow.
Yeah. The system essentially waits for you to try moving. And the millisecond it detects that faint electrical whisper, it delivers the necessary stimulation to complete the physical movement.
Okay. So the machine catches the brain's attempt and finishes the job. But how does finishing the job help the brain actually relearn the movement?
That comes down to proprioceptive feedback.
Right. Proprioception, which is basically your body's internal GPS.
Yes, exactly. It is the built-in sense that tells your brain where your limbs are in space. So when the machine helps complete the movement at the exact moment you try to move, it gives the brain the exact physical sensation it was expecting.
Oh, I see. So the brain sends a weak command, the limb physically moves, and the brain gets the sensory confirmation back that its command worked.
Yes. And that synchronized feedback is what strengthens the damaged neural pathways. It basically tricks the brain into learning again.
That is wild.
Hmm.
But to catch an electrical whisper that faint, the hardware setup has to be incredibly precise, right? Where do you place these listening sensors to ensure you don't miss the signal?
Well, this is a crucial detail. The Stimel 3 system actually utilizes two unified electrodes, placing one on each side of the paralysis.
Wait, so you don't just put it right on top of the injured nerve?
No, because identifying the exact microscopic neural hotspot manually is incredibly difficult. Ah, okay. So instead of using one tiny probe and just hoping you land on the exact right nerve ending, you're basically setting up like two radar towers on either side of the injury.
That is a perfect way to describe it. By flanking the paralyzed area with two connected electrodes, this configuration provides a better threshold to reach the injury site effectively.
You're casting a wider net.
Right. The dual electrode setup casts a more sensitive net, capturing even the weakest electrical pulse from the brain. It ensures the system won't miss your effort, which is what guarantees that critical sensor-motor loop can close.
The implications for you, the listener, or anyone involved in therapy are just massive. Rehabilitation is no longer just about forcing a limb to move.
Not at all.
It's about teaching the brain to command the body again. How might this intention-driven approach change the way we treat other neurological or cognitive conditions where the brain's intent is trapped behind a physical barrier?
That is a huge question to ponder.
Thanks for joining us on NeuroRehab Conversations. Recovery is about more than movement. It's about restoring independence and quality of life. We'll see you in the next episode.